Good afternoon, Steeler Nation. This is Rudy Rudog Reyes on the RudogShow.com. This afternoon, I had a time to reflect, and I'm sure Cam Newton is as well, over that debacle Super Bowl 50, which didn't seem to favor the Carolina Panthers from any standpoint. And as a quarterback, you have to understand that this is a game of your life. And when you lose, if you're an MVP, you have to do this gracefully. You have to bow gracefully. You have to give props and stay humble. And with me to talk about what it's like to be a quarterback and maybe reach the pinnacle of his career, not only being able to play in the NFL, but to be able to have a better sense of humility, welcome in Matthew Schiltz, former quarterback of Butler University. I've been waiting to get this guy on. Welcome, Matt. How are you?
Good, Rudy. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate the opportunity and really grateful to sit down and talk to you and talk to Steeler Nation.
Well, you know what? The Steelers are looking for a potential quarterback to draft to clipboard under a two-time Super Bowl winning starter in Ben Roethlisberger. Welcome. I appreciate you taking your time out. And with that being said, 2016 NFL Draft is right around the glorious corner, and being a starter, let's just say it wasn't that easy for you, and filling in for somebody wasn't easy also, but you seem to manage not only that offensive line, but being able to build a relationship with your starting offense. What was it about Butler that made you stay humble and have resound as you head back into an otherwise dismal breaking thumb situation?
Yeah, you know, Butler from the beginning, you know, it just felt like the perfect fit getting on campus and going to a Division I FCS program in a non-scholarship format. You know, you're really humbled. And coming out of high school, everyone always has a dream of earning a scholarship and getting to those big FBS schools. But for me, you know, I was fortunate enough that Butler gave me an offer to come play football, although it was non-scholarship. My parents did a lot to provide for me and, you know, always taught me just to stay humble and enjoy the opportunity. And, you know, you face setbacks during the year, during the course of a career, and you do whatever you can to still help the team win during those setbacks, like when I broke my hand, and doing everything I could to still help the team from behind the scenes and just keep on working hard-nosed, and come back for the following year and try and do everything you can to be another provider for another year.
It hasn't always been easy for you. I mean, you have faced different types of adversities. You've faced not only not starting, but you were there as a backup. Let's start at a very early and a tender age. A lot of players don't get the opportunity to play football when they're, you know, anywhere between 5 and 15 years old. Typically, they don't even start till high school. But you started playing football when you were 6. What was it about having the opportunity to play in the NFL that just helped get you going,
you know,
early on?
Yeah, you watch all your favorite players. For me, I was a big 49er fan when I was a kid. You know, I loved watching Steve Young, you know, Garrison Hurst, Terrell Owens, Jerry Rice in there. And, you know, seeing them play every week, you know, that's who you emulate in the backyard. And starting playing when I was 6, playing flag football and slowly working my way up, and, you know, the Pop Warner with the Naperville Redskins there for a little bit, and going down to Florida, wide world of sports, and being around all these great players and knowing that you can really have that opportunity and always kind of dream big. You know, my mom always told me that you can accomplish anything, and it's kind of cliche, but that's always kind of stuck in the back of my mind, that anything is possible, and just remain grateful and really work hard at everything you do, because you never know, you know, what can happen in the future. But it's always been a passion of mine to go try and play in the NFL, and just really fortunate enough to have that opportunity right now.
Well, look, at the 2016 NFL draft, there are a lot of quality quarterbacks. Some stand out, some not as much. What is it about the NFL draft that does something for you? In other words, what is it about the draft that will help motivate you? If your name was called, let's just say the Steelers had called your name, what would be the first thought and or feeling running through your mind?
thankfulness. Just got thank God. You know, I'm a fairly faithful person, and I know he's done a lot for me to get me to where I am right now. And I'd just be so thankful that, you know, those dreams that you more or less base your whole life on, they finally become a reality. And it's just got to be such a surreal moment. And, you know, I would love nothing more than hear my name called.
It wasn't easy. I mean, you had a non-scholarship school, which is by far one of the hardest things. I mean, you have to work a part-time job, or you know, you had people to assist you, and you had the fortune of having your parents assist you to attend the university. And clearly, you know, as a parent, I'm a parent. Mm-hmm. There are certain things that you can and cannot do, and you would do anything for your children. What was it about their support? And scratch the financial aspect. What was it about their support that helped you see what it was really like to be not only someone who knew where he was going, but stayed humble enough to continue doing what you were doing while you were at Butler?
Yeah, you know, I know they just busted their tail for me. They did everything they could. You know, come from a big family. I got two other brothers and then a lot of step siblings as well. And just the amount of people that they have to provide for in all different directions and everything. I know you said not only financially, but supporting my other family members and, you know, visiting my little brother at college and making sure he's okay. And through all that, my mom was able to come to every single one of my games senior year, home and away. And just that love and support that I know she was giving me kind of always kept me focused and kept me humbled, knowing that, you know, there's a lot of people that count on me, and there's a lot of people that want to see me succeed. And, you know, you really do it to try and honor them too in the process. And that gave me, you know, the humbleness to kind of go out and honor them throughout that entire season.
This season was especially fun for you. I mean, overall, you ended 218 for 381 attempts, 2,713 yards, 19 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, and effective rate 128.8. That's really high, but it didn't stop there. You rushed you had 126 carries, 639 yards, 10 touchdowns, a long of 77. And I know I have to ask you, where did you get the long of 77 from? Which game?
It was either the Indiana State game, the first game of the year, or against Taylor University. It was they were both kind of long runs, making a couple cuts, had to make a few guys miss, and then off to the races, kind of show off my track days from high school in that 100-meter dash.
Well, I'll tell you what, cardio really pays off, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Especially when you recognize that you have a way to run down the field, and obviously coverage, or the lack thereof, favored you in a very, very big way. A total offense for you, 304.7 yards per game. You were fifth in the FCS, and you were rated amongst many other players in the top 10. You were fifth overall. There's so many accolades here for you, but looking beyond the accolades, I mean, a Good Works team nominee from Allstate in 2015. You were a co-offensive player in 2015. You were honorable mention in 14. I mean, you academic honor roll all 5 seasons, most improved. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. But I did notice that you were mentioning humility. You were mentioning how staying humble really helped out. And not only on the field, but off the field. I know this is going to sound interesting. I know the listeners are going to be interested in this as well. You're part of, not only a part of, but a founding member of the student athlete organization. It was called BARC.
Mm-hmm.
And it's where you're recognizing children. What kind of children were part of the Butler Athletes Recognizing Kids Foundation?
Yeah, so it's actually a great organization. It was the president is David Starkey. He's a linebacker at Butler, and he came up to me and 3 other guys and kind of pitched the idea and asked us to all be these starting members. And you know, we loved the idea. We loved the opportunity to be able to work with kids in the area. And last year was kind of our first year doing it, so we were kind of developing kind of the structure for it, and we would go and meet with different school districts in the area and try and see how we can become more involved, whether it's helping out at recess or going in and reading books to kids in some of the, you know, harder areas in the community where they may not have a, you know, a figure to look up to or someone that is there to support them. Just to know that, you know, the athletes at Butler University are there for them, and we can kind of be those figures in their life that can provide support to them. And, you know, our president, David, he's working on sponsoring a kid at Riley's Children's Hospital. So go in there and meet with him and just kind of hang out, because there's a lot of kids that face a lot, you know, tougher daily obstacles than I will ever will. And, you know, just anything I can do to help give back to the community is something I'll always be there to do.
Well, giving on the field and giving off the field sounds like something that you've worked very, very well with. You've been able to not only have a double major while you're at Butler, which is by far one of the most difficult things to do, as well as being a part of a football team for which you had competed in the FCS Senior Scout Bowl at Myrtle Beach. You're going to attend the Combine Regional March 5th. You haven't really had any time off. Is there anything you've been doing in the off season that has prepared you, not only from a cardiovascular standpoint, but maybe a stretching standpoint, or anything else you've been doing to keep yourself ready to go in the off season?
Yeah, so I've been working out 5 to 6 days a week, trying to throw and work on my footwork and pocket presence at least 2 or 3 days a week. And you know, in terms of running, and you mentioned stretching, I actually go to yoga class at least once a week, and that's a great way to kind of relax the mind as well as improve my flexibility and core strength. And, I should be going there later this evening, so looking forward to that. But, you know, like I said, just working out a lot. I've been working with a couple of strength and conditioning coaches from Butler at our team facilities, and, you know, they've done a tremendous job helping me get ready for the regional combines and pro days and all the workouts that I'll have coming up.
Well, sounds like you're preparing yourself not only for an NFL locker room, but preparing yourself for the road ahead, because the road ahead will lead you to an NFL locker room. And I did notice, and I've watched a lot of your film, and I'm looking at your release.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very unique release, to say the very least. And when you're talking about weird releases or strange, or maybe ones you're not used to seeing, Philip Rivers comes to mind. I look at his style. I look at his foot placement. I look at his ability to get rid of the ball in a timely manner. Unfortunately, to Philip Rivers' dismay, not the best decision maker when it comes to throwing the ball as far as positioning, and, you know, throwing in a triple coverage is going to produce negative results. But your release is very unique. What do you atone to having that type of release, or is that just one of those things that is going to help you stand out in the 2016 draft or at the combine?
You know, yeah, I'm not really sure kind of where the release came from. And a lot of people have told me it's unique. It's a little different. A lot of people, like you said, have said Philip Rivers. I've also heard kind of Tony Romo with tucking that left arm and keeping everything really tight. But everybody that I've really talked to, you know, quarterback coaches don't necessarily need to kind of fix me, but rather fine tune it and, you know, make sure my feet are in a proper position, because at the end of the day, it's going to be the feet and the legs and the core that is really going to lead my arm and lead my upper body to allow me to be accurate and generate that power. So as long as I can really work on my feet and on my core strength, and, you know, the arm motion is going to follow, and as long as I can stay accurate and put the ball in the right spot and be on time, you know, I think that's what really matters.
NFL speed. When I say NFL speed, I mean NFL game time speed.
Yep.
Is a lot different than the NCAA. What adjustments do you believe you're going to need to make,
you know,
in the NFL?
Yeah. So at Butler, we kind of ran the spread system, always in the shotgun. And, you know, I've really been trying to improve on, you know, my 3-5-7 step drop and really throwing on timing. And we did a lot of practice at Butler with throwing kind of before the break and really letting the receiver kind of adjust to the ball while it's in the air and trying to release before he's coming out of those breaks, and trusting that our receiver is going to get in the right spot, and receiver trusting the quarterback that we're going to deliver it at the right spot. And you know, that's what I'm really working on moving forward, and really throwing off timing, because the NFL, if you're a half second too late, half second too early, it's probably not going to be the best play.
You have a lot of solid pocket presence, and I've seen you throw the ball into double coverage with positive results. Now, granted, everybody puts up their highlight reel and they're all, well, let's pick the best plays. But not able to look at the negative plays. What is it you're going to have to work on that will not only help you stand out, but being drafted by an NFL team will help you shine once you get into a training camp situation?
Yeah, it's kind of what I was touching on earlier with improving, you know, my pro-style offense technique in terms of 3-5-7-step drops. You know, we were in the shotgun a lot and doing a lot of, you know, read option and having to run the ball. But what comes with that, a positive that comes with that, was the ability to still have to process information quickly running that no-huddle offense. And, you know, I've been reading Making of a Modern Quarterback by Bruce Feldman, and talks with Trent Dilfer a lot in there, and about how fast you can process information and how fast that information can be translated from the defense into your brain and then kind of translated out onto the field. And, you know, that's something that I've really been working on kind of from the last 2 years, where I really have had seen the opportunity that I could play in the NFL, and that really trying to develop that pocket presence too while I'm in the pocket, and trying to make those quick decisions and make accurate decisions that'll put the team in the best position to win.
In the NFL, you have a team win and you have a team loss. And I'm going to go back to Super Bowl 50 for half a minute. And the reason why is you have an NFL MVP in Cam Newton. On the field and even off the field, he's been contributing not only to funds and foundations that he finds close, near, and dear to his heart. And then at the end of the game, when in a post-game interview, and, you know, look, if you want to take the Marshawn Lynch stand, you're more than welcome to. I don't believe that I had seen that in Cam Newton, especially with that interview that he had had yesterday on CBS. And so in a pressure situation, now I know it's hard for you to put yourself there because you haven't gotten there yet, but putting yourself in an NCAA perspective by losing a game and there's a post-game interview, how would you, or how have you handled the defeatist mindset and have been able to disallow that from setting in? In other words, what have you been able to do to keep yourself positive despite losing a major game?
Yeah, you know, I was watching it last night and was thinking to myself about this. And I think Steve Young said it perfectly after I heard him talk, and said, you know, Cam Newton, he's the face of the franchise, arguably going to be the face of the league, being the MVP moving forward. You just got to take a deep breath, and you just got to be able to answer those questions. We've all been in situations where we don't want to necessarily talk about a certain outcome, whether it's a game or a job or a relationship or in life. But you still got to rise up and kind of be there to provide that feedback, even though you don't want to do it. And I think that comes back to just, you know, the humility aspect that, you know, I've always kind of tried to represent. And for me, it's just, after a tough loss, take a second, gather your thoughts, gather your composure. Don't want to make any rash decisions or comments, you know, after an emotional situation. But just got to take a deep breath and try and do your best to make a good statement. But like you said, no one's ever. It's hard for people to relate to that situation. Not a lot of people have been on the losing end of a Super Bowl, but, you know, we've all had tough situations where we've had to comment on. And for me, it's just taking a deep breath and answering the question.
Well, you can always ask the question, but it's the response. It's right. The answer. It's being able to say, you know what? I choked. You know, an opportunity for him to pick up a ball that had been a botched, you know, handoff, essentially, and didn't go in to dive to, you know, to acquire the ball. I thought that was really shallow. In other words, he didn't take one for the team. Well, he didn't even take one for himself. And so as a quarterback, you are the leader. Mm-hmm. And he's a leader in the MVP conversation. Obviously not the Super Bowl MVP, but the NFL MVP. But I have to take my hats off to how the coaching system, and Ron Rivera what was able to handle it. And of course, maturity comes with age.
Definitely.
Not only from inside the pocket, but outside the pocket and outside the Coliseum or the stadium that you're playing in, to not only portray yourself as a positive role model, but one that's not going to be a sore loser. It goes back to sportsmanship.
Mm-hmm.
And when we're talking about sportsmanship, it's really about character, how you can handle a loss, how you're able to analyze the loss. And obviously we heard from the winning quarterback stated he would have a lot of Budweiser and then make the decision as to whether or not he's going to come back and play another year. I don't know if that's a stint for selling Budweiser and if they had paid him any money for it, whatever. That's a whole other story. Yeah. But from a quarterback perspective, if there's one quarterback that you could model yourself after that you had watched growing up, who would that be and why?
You know, I watched Steve Young kind of growing up. I caught the tail end of his career. And, you know, as I've grown older, and like you said, that maturity kind of comes with age. And from both the viewer standpoint and the person speaking, you know, Steve Young has always kind of spoke his mind, and he's always, you know, made a good point about being a good representation of the team and what it actually takes to be a leader at the quarterback position and kind of how to do that professionally in a professional manner and all aspects of it, like you said, in the community, on the field, in the locker room, with your family. And, you know, he's always been a big influence on me, and has been my favorite player growing up. He's able to run, able to pass, and, you know, I loved watching him play and loved watching his highlights.
So you wouldn't be opposed if the 49ers were to call your name?
Not at all. Not at all. But at the end of the day, I'd be very fortunate for any NFL team to call my name and just get that opportunity to show that team and the NFL what I can do as a quarterback in the NFL.
Well, not only will you be a leader in the NFL, I really believe, based on our conversation, based on film that I've watched, and the discussion that we have had from end to end, you're definitely going to be on somebody's watch list if you aren't already. And if any scouts are listening right now, I seriously suggest that you not only listen to the interview, but look up Matthew Schultz, former quarterback of Butler University, and watch out NFL, because this guy has a lot to offer. He has a lot going on for himself, and probably one of the hardest working quarterbacks to come out of the 2016 NFL draft. So, Matthew, thanks a lot. I appreciate your time. I appreciate you taking it out. I know you're a busy guy. I'll let you get back to what you're going to do to prepare further for the 2016 NFL draft.
Thanks, Rudy. I really appreciate you having on me, and have a great rest of your day.
You as well. Thanks a lot. And with that being said, ladies, gentlemen, scouts, NFL teams, look out for Matthew Schultz, because if you're not looking for him, you may miss out on a gem in the NFL draft upcoming. And with that being said, this has also been Rudy Rude Dog Reyes on the RudeDogShow.com.